Welcome to the Nursing and Midwifery Emporium podcast, a podcast about this nursing life. I'm Nicole Nash-Arnold from Nurse Manager HQ.
And I'm Sue Walker from the Nursing CPD Institute. And together each week, we seek out interesting people to discover what a red-hot nursing life looks like.
Today, I welcome to this nursing life microphone, Chris Carlin from Master Your Money Now. Welcome to the microphone, Chris.
Thank you very much for having me, Sue.
Our pleasure. Now, Chris, what do financial planners do for an individual?
I think the short answer to that question is they help you understand money. And money is such a confusing topic. It's not something that we really learn at school or at university or out in the world. There's a couple of books out there, a couple of podcasts, but I think a lot of people are really confused about money and investing and insurance and everything to do with money. So a financial planner, what they do is create a financial plan for you and help you to take you by the hand and guide you step by step as to what you should be doing with your finances.
So what's the aim of having a financial plan, Chris?
Yeah, so there's three parts to a financial plan. The first point of it is to is where you are now. And I think that's a really important question and an undervalued question, because I think a lot of people really just don't understand where their money goes, what they have, what sort of assets do they have, what sort of liabilities do they have. A lot of people really don't know where they are now. So that's the first part of a financial plan. The second part is really understanding where you want to be. Where do you want to be in 2, 5, 10, 20 years' time, both financially and non-financially? You know, it's when we get into a car, we generally know where we're going or what the final destination is. But when we're traveling through life and when we're trying to organize our finances, a lot of us don't have an end direction or a target or where we should be going. So really defining that target is really important. And then the third part of it is connecting those places together. So where you are now and where you want to be, and having a documented in concrete plan to get you from point A to point B. So that's what I think the aim of a financial plan is.
It sounds great. It sounds really, really good. Is it costly to engage a financial planner?
Look, it's not cheap, I'll be flat out. I think the investment is definitely worth the cost associated with it. And I think most people would get a significantly great benefit from financial advice. I think the important thing to note, though, and I think not a lot of people are aware of, is with financial advisors, and if they are talking about your superannuation, that most, if not all, of the investment of seeing a financial planner can be charged through your super account. So if money is tight and cost is a issue, you may be able to charge most or if all of the investment of financial advice through your superannuation account.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There you go. Yeah. So if you are worried about the cost, that could be an option when speaking. Yeah, when you do get a financial advice, and also most financial advisors, their first 30 minutes or 60 minutes is usually complimentary. So yeah, take advantage of that first complimentary discussion, and then yeah, if they do proceed with formal financial advice, then yes, using your super might be an option to fund that.
Because It's interesting, isn't it? Like, money creates the opportunities we have in life and what we can do with our life. And it's the least planned part of it. Like, if I build a house, I don't think I can build that myself. I usually get a builder. Mm. Or if I want to reorganize the electrics, I don't do it myself. I get an electrician. Like, I'm happy to pay for specialist knowledge. But our biggest asset, we tend not to get specialist knowledge on.
Exactly right. I always use the analogy of a car. Now, I know nothing about cars. All I know, if it's got four wheels, it's a good thing. If it's red, it goes faster. That's all I know about
that's
cars.
That's a mean thing. That's a mean
thing. So that's all I know about cars. But I engage a mechanic to service my car every 6 to 12 months to make sure that it's running smoothly and, you know, it's running at its optimal performance. Exact same concept with your finances. If you're not someone who enjoys finances, if you look at bank statements and budgeting and just your eyes glaze over, it gets you confused and you just feel stressed out just thinking about it, don't put your head in the sand. Don't ignore it. You need to, you know, you can outsource that. You can pay someone else to help you through that process and do a lot of that legwork for you.
Now, Chris, what are some of the most common mistakes that you see people make with their money?
If I think particularly about nurses, I generally find that nurses on the whole, and we're talking a big generalisation here, but nurses I generally find are pretty good budgeters. They've generally got a little bit of savings set aside, and I think a lot of that is due to the fact that a lot of nurses have inconsistent hours of loadings, penalty rates, and your salary does fluctuate from week to week, so having a bit of a buffer there to manage that process is or manage those inconsistencies in income is quite important. It's something that's really drummed into nurses. What I think holds a lot of what where nurses struggle is when it comes time to invest in taking that next step and building wealth. So you don't necessarily, so when you do finish the end of your nursing career and hopefully you go through to age 60 and 70 and still enjoying it and still able to do that, but being able to build wealth and invest in shares, property, superannuation, whatever that might be for you and what works best for you, that I think is a gap that nurses do struggle with. And so I want to make sure that your money works as hard as you do. I want to make sure that when you're, you know, over the long term, that you're earning more money from your investments than you are from nursing itself. That's the long-term goal. And that doesn't happen overnight. That happens, again, with a financial plan over 2, 5, 10, 20 years. But that is ultimately the end goal, because you're not going to save your way to retirement in a bank account. Interest on your bank account earns less than 2%. That is not a good, that, you know, your money deserves to be working harder than that. So that would be where I think there's a big gap when it comes to nurses, that nurses have got, you know, a good foundation of generally being very good savers, not carrying a lot of personal debts. But when it comes time to invest in and getting that money working harder for them, not the other way around, yeah, that's where I do see a breakdown. And that's where engaging with a financial planner or financial specialist can help you with that process.
So, Chris, 90% of the nursing workforce is female. Are there any specific issues that women should take into account when considering a financial plan?
I think the main one that is probably general to women, not just nurses, is obviously children and managing the time off work that nurses and women will likely to have if they go and rear a family. It's just sadly just the society as a whole that women are still the primary caregivers at home. That is definitely changing, and we are seeing more men who are raising children, but at this stage still 90%, I would say, of women are the primary caregivers at home. So we generally refer to that time as a lost decade when it comes to your finances, especially if you have a couple of kids. That's generally how long that women will be out of the workforce in order to raise a family. And that just, you know, takes away from your superannuation. You lose your regular contributions into your super during that time, which can be literally hundreds of thousands of dollars difference in your retirement. Obviously, the loss of income, there's the loss, you know, how do we manage the bills? How do we do all those kind of things? And so we generally find that time is not really the best time to build wealth. So what I would say is that particularly for the younger members who are listening to this podcast, and those who are starting their career, there's no better time to build wealth and to get those foundations in place then before you have children. If you're able to do things like buy the house, buy potentially some invest in some investments, get your super sorted, get your personal insurance cover sorted as well. If you can do all that in your 20s and maybe your 30s, but prior to having children, and they're in a place where they kind of look after themselves, you're going to be so far ahead than, over the next 10, 20 years in comparison to someone who hasn't put in that foundation in place. So, that's what we do. We at Master Your Money Now, we primarily work with millennials and graduate nurses. And again, getting those foundations in place. Those assets are growing whilst you're working, whilst you're looking after the children. If you're able to get those foundations in place before you have children, the lifetime impact that's going to have is again, literally hundreds of thousands of dollars over long term. So yeah, that would be the number one thing I would say to nurses and the female workforce. Get those financial foundations in place before you have children.
Chris, is it ever too late then to start mastering your money?
I think there is. I can vividly remember, this wasn't a nurse, but this was a tradie who came to me at age 55, hasn't been contributing to their super at all, may have had 20 grand in their super account. Their back was gone. They literally couldn't work. And they said, I can't work. I need to retire. What can I do? And the short answer was nothing. There was really nothing this particular gentleman we could help with aside from pointing them towards Centrelink. So there is a time where it does become too late. And if you're unable to work due to injury or illness in particular and have to cut your career short, that is a big financial issue that you've got to deal with. And if you don't have those foundations in place, again, whether it is the personal insurance cover or those investments that are generating wealth while you're not at work, then, there is a point where it does become too late. But, if you're at age 55, 60, if you're at the retirement end and you've got a good super balance, you've paid off your own home, you've got some investments, then, you're going to be in a very good position for retirement. But if you're in your 50s and 60s, got a small super balance, haven't bought your own home, got no investments to show for it, then it could be, it might not be too late for you, but it's getting very, very close. And I think you'll need to really double down on it, getting some sort of investment so that can support you during retirement.
So, Chris, final question.
Yes.
What is it that you wish all nurses knew so that they could live their best nursing life?
When it comes to your finances, you don't have to do it yourself. I think that's the biggest one. And, nurses do such a great job of caring for people when they're at their most vulnerable, when they're sick, when they're unhealthy. That's such an incredibly important part of life. The job that nurses do are incredible. And I'm married to a nurse as well. I didn't mention that before. My wife's a pediatric nurse in Geelong. And, obviously as we're recording this, we're going through COVID and nurses are getting, and the medical profession are getting recognised for their hard work and efforts during these crazy times. I guess the main message though is for nurses is that there are sources out there, there are resources out there that can help you with your finances and care for your finances just as much as you care for us. And so if finances is not something that comes naturally to you, reach out for help. Don't wait till it's too late. Again, we want your finances to be working as hard, if not harder, than what you do. So if you are confused about your finances, please reach out. Let's have a chat. I want to help you, take you by the hand, help you with your finances in a way that's easy to understand and guide you through the next steps. So when you do reach the end of your working life, that you do have a financial backing that reflects your hard work and efforts. And that doesn't happen by accident. You need a plan, you need structure, and you need advice in order to be able to do that. So, yeah, that's what I'm really passionate, as you can tell, about helping nurses with their finances.
Chris, thanks for being our guest at the Nursing and Midwifery Emporium podcast today and sharing with us your thoughts about financial planning. Very interesting. Now, for those who are listening, Chris is going to do a financial series of podcasts looking at everything from salary sacrifice to getting the most out of your super. So if you have a question that you would like to put to Chris, email them through to us, and forewarned's forearmed, Chris.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to that series. And also, if anyone wants to get in touch with me, they can do so by going to masteryourmoneynow.com.au. That website again is masteryourmoneynow.com.au. And you can book in a complimentary 30-minute strategy session with myself. And also, yeah, make sure you follow both the Nursing Midwifery Emporium podcast and also Master Your Money Now on social media.
Yes, exactly. Now, if you didn't get that webcast link, it's also on the Emporium page. So there's no way you won't have that information. So thanks again, Chris.
Thank you very much.
See ya.
See you.
Nick, tell me what you think about financial planning.
Well, let me tell you from the outset, I have to be honest here, I'm not great with money. I was talking before, if I've got it, I'll spend it, and if I don't, then I don't, and just see how it all runs out in the end. But I think for the most part, he could see into nursing's soul, financial soul, because I have this perception that of the millions of, feel like, of nurses that I've spoken to, nurses are actually really excellent budgeters. They really are. But they are not great investors, and I think it's a self-limiting belief more than they're crap investors. I think they just don't invest because their risk tolerance and risk appetite is so low that it's just secret investment business, sounds really risky, that's not my bag, so I just don't do it. But he was really interesting. I think he's nailed nursing from that point of view.
And I think we also think, I'm on a wage, I'll put 10% of my pay away, you know, what more could I possibly do?
Yeah. But
as he said, like, you know, if you're putting, you know, a couple of bucks away in a piggy bank, that you're not going to have the money you need when you choose that you no longer want to be part of the workforce.
Mm. I thought his advice around get specialist advice was excellent, because the thing that popped straight into my mind when I heard him say that is the level of frustration we as nurses and midwives feel when patients roll in and go, I know I've got an appendicitis because I Googled it. And you think, don't confuse your Googling with my nursing qualification. And yet we kind of do the same thing in reverse in terms of financial. In that we just not necessarily Google it, and we don't sort of say that we're an expert, but we want patients to seek the advice that they need so that they reach the best level of health that they can for whatever challenge they're experiencing. But we don't do it with our money.
No, and that's our biggest asset. Like, the whole reason we go to work every day is to find the resources to fund our lifestyle.
And honestly, when you're doing a run of nights and at 2 o'clock in the morning, you really, really want there to be a damn good reason you're there.
As your head hits the desk at 4:35.
Oh, that gastrointestinal thing that happens at 3 a.m. You want something more than just, I'm here for the hourly rate of whatever. And I want your money to be working as hard as you are, because, you know, those moments in nursing, they're pretty rough.
No, look, exactly right. That's true. And I was surprised. I didn't realise that you possibly could claim the advice of a financial advisor through your super.
Who knew you could do that?
I didn't.
No, neither did I. I thought that was amazing. I mean, your super, of course, is amazing, and you don't want to muck around with it, but that's good use of that money for an overall strategy. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, I did too. And I was also interested, you know, when I asked the question, are you ever too old? And, you know, basically, yes, you are. And when he started to talk about best time to do it is when you're young, before you're you know, you make that decision, am I going to have kids or not?
Yeah.
And if I am going to have kids, I need to get my act together.
I love the fact that he said, yes, there is, because I think most financial advisors go, no, not at all.
No, we can help you until you're 197. That's right.
Yeah, I thought that was great that he went, yeah, actually the short answer is, yeah, you know, you're cooked. But I find the when to start a really hard argument, because he's a financial planner and it's just so intuitive to say, get your financial ducks lined up, do what you need to do, you know, have the buffer, you know, and the bit of fat for the financial hibernation that having children is. And I've had two children and I just don't think I had any idea. In fact, I know that I didn't have any idea at the unending impost and the financial restriction, let alone just the cost. It goes for just decades after decade after decade. It's just financial desert, the years that you're having children, isn't it?
Well, see, no one will tell you that because there'd only be a few generations and, you know, no one would be hanging around. There'd be no one left because no one would do it.
Oh, it's so annoying. You buy the brand new school shoes, not cheap, and then, you know, the 14-year-old rolls in and went, yeah, this is the state of them, because skateboarding is really symbiotic with the old school shoes. And you think, oh, yeah, no, that's fine. Let me go and buy one. Mum, I need a new jumper for winter. Yep, no problems. Where's your jumper? 2 weeks later, oh, I lost that jumper. Yep, okay, great. Get another one. Like, it's just unending.
No, that's right.
So I think it's really good advice. The fun version of me says, oh God, your 20s are for traveling and getting drunk.
That's and true. Having a that's really true. Good time. And in your 20s, you really don't care about what your 60s are going to look like.
I know.
Because in your 20s, you just want to be able to have the fabulous life and to travel and to have fun and to do this sort of stuff. And there's always tomorrow to grow up.
Mm.
But we can't be Peter Pan.
My parents-in-law gave us this advice about how you have children when you're really, really young or much older. And when you're really, really young and you have children, it doesn't matter because you've got no money anyway. You don't really know the difference. It's a struggle. You just get it done. And then you're young enough when they're adults to recover financially and young enough to be, you know, enjoying the world. Or you do that first and then you get all your financial ducks lined up and you enjoy the world and you buy the house and you see the, you know, do all the stuff you want to do and you have it, you know, much, much later. But the middle ground is where things get messy. I've often thought about that. We had them relatively young, so we had no money anyway. And, you know, now I've not no difference. It doesn't feel any different. But it's such, so sensitive, but it's so hard.
And certainly there's no right or wrong answer, I don't think. But I think the advice he gave of basically see the advisor to set your goal. And if your goal is that you want to travel, then that has to be factored into how you invest your money.
Yeah.
Or if your goal is that you want to own a house or you want to have kids or whatever it is. You know, in the day, I always thought of financial advisors as Scrooge McDuff, you know, sitting there with a truckload of money but the boring of back hell life. And I know that's not the case, Chris. So the continuum is a spendthrift or, you know, Scrooge McDuff. But somewhere in the middle there is the groundwork of have a nice life now, but plan for the future. So you set your goals, as he says. If one of your goals is to travel, then that's put into the plan.
I think that's one of the things that is really important to think about getting that advice is that it's like if I went to a personal trainer and said, look, I don't want to run a marathon. In fact, I don't want to ever know how to run at all. I detest running. And if they came back to me with a plan that said, no, you have to run a marathon, that's not going to work for me. But the trade-off is I'm never going to be this fabulously fit individual, but I'm quite happy with that. But I need to be able to have a level of cardiovascular fitness and some level of core strength as I roll into the latter part of my life. And so make me a plan for that.
Yep.
There's trade-offs and a financial planner is exactly the same. Like I want to be able to splurge money on shoes because I have a thing for shoes. and that's not going away. I don't want a deferred life plan where I have a great life when I'm 70.
And you got bunions and I have and you just, can't fit into the shoes. Yeah.
And I'm too arthritic to tolerate a flight from here to Europe anyway. So, you know, that moment is gone, but I've got plenty of cash. But, you know, that's your thing. And I think even if it is I've made some mistakes and my finances are a mess and it's too much of a mess, I've got to clean up the mess as well, then, you know, it's like going to a personal trainer when you're 30 kilos overweight. You know, you don't go when you're fit. You go when you're not fit so they can help you.
Mm. It is interesting. The other thing I found in regards to the conversation for women and for a woman, if you choose to have children or you and your partner work out that you're the lesser salary earner or the one who wants to work part time so that they can meet the needs of the people you've chosen to board and bring into the world, the difficulty comes then if you get divorced.
Mm, yeah.
Because your finances are in the toilet and your ability to actually move forward in your career when you put your career on hold and let the other person have a brilliant career, like their earning potential is far in excess of yours.
Yeah.
And not that you go into a relationship for it to fail, but one in three fail, Nick.
Absolutely. I mean, the fact that that presents some significant challenges for women. And as you pointed out during that, and as we well know, 90% of our workforce is women, and the vast majority for those women are that they've had children and that they were the primary carer. So they have reduced their hours for a few years or many years. I mean, the vast majority of nurses are working part-time of some varying scale. So if you compound the lack of super opportunity with getting to the end of that phase and then your relationship ends in divorce, there's certainly, of course, a mechanism in the legal instrument to get the super and split up assets and all that kind of stuff. But I think for the most part, women aren't where they think they're going to be at that time. And then they're doing it on their own and they think, God, where do I go with this? Yep. This isn't where I thought I would be. What do I need? You know, I'm on my own. You know, living on your own is more expensive than living with two, you know, like it's a really complicated thing to navigate when you're navigating a terrible thing in your life. So you definitely need that advice at that point.
So it opened my eyes up because I'm not a millennial, I just need to tell you. So it's not as though it's relevant to me, but to a colleague, a young colleague who's starting out, it is exceptionally relevant to them. Get a handle on it now. Like, just don't, you wouldn't trust your friend on Facebook to diagnose your appendicitis.
No.
So don't trust them to give you financial advice. Take advantage of the 30-minute free thing.
Oh, that's amazing too. Yeah. Who knew they could do that? You know, it means that you can sort of build that relationship. Just you have to work out whether, you know, it's the right person and whether you're getting it and whether it's the right time. And, you know, having that, building that little bit of trust, I think, is so good to know that finances, I think, I've not worked this one out yet, I don't think, but it's one of those easy when you know how things.
Yeah.
And so the sooner you crack the code of secret financial business with someone like Chris, then the sooner it's just easy and you get to meet the goals, even if it is buying a pair of Salvador Ferragamis once a month, if that's your thing.
Yep.
Or, you know, or you're traveling a lot, or you spend a lot of time eating out because you detest cooking, whatever. But it's your money. You do what you want with it, but don't get to the end and go, bugger.
Yeah, if only. Yeah, the aim is not to have the if only moment. The aim.
You don't
want
to be the 50-year-old bloke he was talking about.
Yeah, that was sad, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, get your act together early and you set your goal.
Mm.
And they're then there to help you. But there is an opportunity to explore it. And I think that's a fabulous thing. And I thank Chris for his honesty
in
the way he communicated it and the information he provided. So I think that was great.
Yep. Well, Sue.
On that happy note.
Till next time.
I look forward to it. Have a fabulous, fabulous day.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Nursing and Midwifery Emporium. Make sure you visit us at the website www.nmemporium.com to subscribe to the podcast.
And if you'd like to put someone forward for us to interview, go to the same website and just click on the button.
See you guys.
Take care. Bye.